May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. It is indeed a pleasure to welcome us to the first Sunday in December and also the second Sunday in Advent. In the past couple of weeks, we've been exploring spiritual gifts. And what we did a few minutes ago is simply a way of practicalizing what we've been studying. Recognizing that in the body of Christ, there are different parts. The hand, the fingers, the nails, the tongue, the mouth, the head, the eyes, the ears. There are different parts. And they all work together. They all need each other. And that is why if you have ever gone through a surgery, and even though it's a surgery somewhere around your stomach, but you discover that the leg wouldn't go to work, the hand stays around, the eyes, the mouth, they are always there to take care of the wound. And they only live for work when the wound is healed. We are focused on Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. And there, of course, you can also see the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians. So we only had to focus on this. And so far we have looked at prophecy. We have also studied faith, teaching, seven, encouragement, giving, and today we are looking at mercy. Anne had already presented a very fantastic children's talk on this, and I do not intend to belabor us on any of that. Our gospel story today presents a picture of the love and mercy that the Lord Jesus has for the lost. It does remind us to be thankful for the mercy we have freely received. Could you pause for a while and think of a time when you have lost or misplaced something valuable to you? Maybe your car keys, your house keys, your bank card, maybe something, or maybe your passport. You misplaced it on a holiday and you need to travel back. How did it feel? At that point, your luggage doesn't mean anything to you. The content, your phone, may not really mean much. In the parables devoted to mercy, Jesus reveals the nature of God as that of a father who never gives up on us until he has forgiven the wrong and overcome rejection with compassion and mercy. And quickly, we remember these parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and a father with two children, with two sons. In these parables, we find the core of the gospel and the center of our faith. Because mercy is presented as a force that overcomes everything. I read this story about a mother who once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that a young man had committed a certain offense twice. So, in a way, he was seen as a habitual criminal or a habitual offender. And that justice demanded death. The son needed to die. The mother said, "But I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." Now, the emperor said, "But your son does not deserve mercy." The woman said, "Sir, it will not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." Then the emperor said, "Well then, I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Mercy. The word mercy means a lot to us. And I've shared a story about what led us, I'll bring that up maybe sometime in the future, what led us into giving water to our community in Nigeria, electric water borehole, and it is called Mercy Water. Because for us, we have thought about life, where we started, where we have been, where we are, where we are going. And in all and all, we've always seen that we do not deserve any of the things we have received from God. And so we always fall back to mercy. We fall back to God's mercy. And this morning, early hours, as I was praying, I was just thinking about God's mercies. I said, God, we are falling back to your mercy. We do not deserve what we receive, your kindness, your mercies, your love, your protection, the safety, and all the things we receive. And that was my prayers, our prayer at home this morning. We do not deserve any of this. It is just mercy. Jesus spent much of his time displaying the quality of mercy, no matter what he was doing or where he was going. When he saw someone in need, he would stop and help them. His way was to show mercy and to instruct us, as we have it on the bulletin, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And that's God's word for us. Our credibility as a congregation is seen in how we show merciful and compassionate love. Who we are as a congregation is not only demonstrated by our regular worship on Sundays. It is shown by the way we care for people. And we know that on our nominal roll, we have about 600 members. But on regular worship, perhaps we might be having 150 or so every Sunday. So it means we have more members who are out there. And for some of them, they are housebound, but they are members. Some of them were very active. They were very, very active, so involved that you hardly stay for a moment without noticing them. Their works were so evident. They loved the Lord. They loved the congregation. And for some of them, they were active for 60, 70 years, 80 years. They grew up from the Sunday school, but now they are unable to join us on a regular basis. They are still loved, and they are still cared for by God. Our ministry as a congregation becomes more uplifting if we can reach out to these ones. Not only our members, but others. I remember going to the hospital, and after prayers, and in fact, each time I go to the hospital, somebody on the next bed is saying, please, I'm here. Or even when they don't say, I am here, they give you a big smile, which is always inviting. And once you step forward, they'll start shutting you up. We need to be a church that is known for caring, caring for its members, passionate. A church that demonstrates the love of Christ. And like Glenn said earlier, we have these themes, and these themes are not just meant, and they are not just there to make us feel good here, but it is meant to help us reach out to the wider community to show the love of Christ. Those who are lonely, those who are sick, those who are bereaved, those who are afflicted, those who are abandoned, those who are forsaken, those who only see death. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. These are the words of the 16th century Roman Catholic Saint Teresa of Avila. As believers, there will always be opportunities for us to put our faith into action in our congregation and communities, to be Jesus' hand and feet this Advent season. For some, this may involve distributing food through the food bank and through other means to the hungry, caring for the sick, visiting those in prison, or challenging those who allow injustice to go unchecked. Truly, we should be the hands and feet of God to the afflicted. And as we come to the Lord's table today, let us come with thanks. Let us come with thanks to God for all the wonderful privileges, mercy we have received, undeserved. Let us come to God with thanksgiving. And let us also come to God with determination to forgive, to show mercy to others. Because freely we have received mercy. And God invites us to show the same to others.